Let's pray together. Oh God, our gracious and merciful Father, we have come before Thee once again, and we thank You for the opportunity to come. Father, we come under Thy feet to study Thy word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for all what Thou hast done for us this day, a day of holiness, a day Thou hast preserved and commanded us to keep us holy. Our Heavenly Father, we come before Thee in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We confess our sins before Thee, that we are not worthy to come before Thee, but we are trusting in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what He has done on Calvary to come before Thee. So Father, we pray that Thou will be merciful unto us, Thou will look down upon us in love and in mercy, Thou will pardon and forgive us of our sins afresh, draw us closer to Yourself, and come and lead us. Prepare our hearts and our minds, take distractions away, and help us to understand Thy way that we are going to study tonight, that in the end, it will bring glory unto Thy name and a blessing unto ourselves. We thank You, Father, for hearing us, for we have come praying in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and for His sake. Amen.
Amen.
And our first hymn is hymn number 146. Hymn number 146. I will praise my Maker while I have breath, and when my voice is lost in death, praise shall employ my nobler powers. My days of praise shall never be past, while life and thought and being last, all immortality endures. Hymn number 146.
Bye.
Because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be, yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and he shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. they shall consume into smoke. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous sheweth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore, for the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was no. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together, the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. Friends, let's turn to hymn number 37. Version 2, a hymn that we can reflect on our Bible verse, hymn number 37, version 2. O Lord, the steps of all thy saints are ordered by thy will. Though they should fall, they rise again. The hand supports them still. Hymn number 37, version 2.
Oh,
second Bible reading is taken from Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. And I'm beginning from verse 1. Jeremiah chapter 29 from verse 1. Now, these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captives from Jerusalem to Babylon. After that, Jeconiah, the king and the queen, and the eunuchs, the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, and the carpenters and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem. By the hand of Elasa, the son of Shaphan, and Gamariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent unto Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build ye houses, and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruits of them. Take ye wives, and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may increase. It may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the cities whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thou sayest the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you, and perform my good word toward you, in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, and not thoughts of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations, and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Because ye have said, the Lord had raised us up prophets in Babylon. Know that thus saith the Lord of the king that sitteth upon the throne of David, and of all the people that dwelleth in this city, and of your brethren that are not gone forth with you into captivity. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Behold, I will send upon them the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, and will make them like vile figs that cannot be eaten. They are so evil. And I will persecute them with the sword, with the famine, and with the pestilence, and will deliver them to be removed to all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse, and an astonishment, and an hasten, and a reproach among all the nations whither I have driven them. Because they have not hearkened to my words, saith the Lord, which I send unto them by my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them, but ye will not hear, saith the Lord. Hear ye therefore the word of the Lord, all ye of the captivity, whom I have sent from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, of Ahab, the son of Kolia, and of Zedekiah, the son of Maaseiah, which prophesy a lie unto you in my name. Behold, I will deliver them unto the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall slay them before your eyes. And of them shall be taken up a curse by all the captivity of Judah, which are in Babylon, saying, the Lord make thee like Zedekiah and like Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire, because they have committed villainy in Israel, and have committed adultery with their neighbors' wives, and have spoken lying words in my name, which I have not commanded them. Even I know, and am a witness, say the Lord. Thus shalt thou also speak to Shemaiah the Nehelamite, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, because thou hast sent letters in thy name unto all the people that are in Jerusalem, and to Zephaniah the son of Maaseiah the priest, and to all the priests, saying, the Lord hath made thee priest in the stead of Jehoiada the priest, that ye should be officers in the house of the Lord. For every man that is mad and maketh himself a prophet, that thou shouldest put him in prison and in the stocks. Now therefore, why hast thou not reproved Jeremiah or Anatoth, which maketh himself a prophet to you? For therefore he sent unto us in Babylon, saying, this captivity is long, build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. And Zephaniah the priest read this letter in the ears of Jeremiah the prophet. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, send to all them of the captivity, saying, thus saith the Lord concerning Shemaiah and Nehelamite, because that Shemaiah had prophesied unto you, and I sent him not, and he caused you to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will punish Shemaiah of Nehelamite and his seed. He shall not have a man to dwell among these people, neither shall he behold the good that I will do for my people, saith the Lord, because he hath taught rebellion against the Lord. We ask for the Lord's blessing upon his word and pray that he will give us the understanding.
We give a sincere and warm welcome to everyone worshipping with us this evening. This is Grace Reformed Baptist Church, Accra, and this is our teaching service. We suggest to everyone to wait for a few moments after the service for personal brief prayer before you leave. Our services and times during the week are as follows. Sunday morning evangelistic service is held from 10 to 11:30. The afternoon Sunday school session is held from 3 to 4:30. In the evening, Sunday evening teaching service in which we are is held from 6 to 7:30. Our prayer meetings are held on Tuesdays from 7 to 8:30 p.m. and our Bible studies are held on Wednesdays from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Our pastor, Anthony Bentumenin, is currently in Cape Coast preaching at Grace Reformed Baptist Church, our sister church. The preacher for next Wednesday's Bible study is our pastor. Recordings of messages from this church are available at our website grbcweb.org. It's now time for our offerings for the Lord's work.
Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we bring before thee these our offerings, and we pray for your blessing upon it, to be used for thy own kingdom's work. Our Heavenly Father, we praise and glorify thy name. Father, we praise you for who you are, the Holy, Holy, Holy God, three in one God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Our Heavenly Father, you are the God of our forefathers, whom you brought out from Egypt with your mighty hand. Father, besides you, there's no other God. You are the God of infinite majesty and of power. Principalities and authorities are all under you. Oh, Father, you deserve to be praised. You deserve to be glorified. So as we come before thee this evening, Father, we pray that thou will accept our praises and our adorations which we offer unto thee. Father, once again we confess our sins and our unworthiness to come before a holy God like you. But we thank you, Father, that through your only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whom you sent into this world, and his atoning death on Calvary, Father, we can come before thee. Father, we trust in you when you say that when we repent of our sins and turn unto you, thou will pardon and forgive us and blot our sins away. So, Father, because of this, we come before thee this evening to pray and to thank you for all thou hast done for us. Father, we come under thy feet once again to study thy word. And it is our prayer that thou would dwell among us. Thou hast said, wherever two or three have met in thy name, thou will be in their presence. So, Father, we know that you are here, and you hear our prayers, and you answer us. So it is our prayer that thou will come and dwell with us, come and take distractions away, and grant the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to open our minds to understand the way that we are going to learn, and to encourage us. Oh, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning gospel service. Thank you for the people who came and thy word that was proclaimed. And Father, we pray for your blessing upon it, that it will be fruitful and effective in their hearts and in their minds, that souls, especially lost souls, will turn unto you for salvation. Father, we thank you for Sunday school and for the children who came. Oh, we thank you for the teachers. We thank you for the helpers. We thank you for their safety in bringing them and taking them back home safely. Oh, Father, we pray for your blessing upon the way that we taught them, that even in these tender ages, Father, if it is your will, you grant them opportunity to repent and to pray for pardon and forgiveness of their sins and to be reconciled unto me. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for all our pastors and our preachers who preach the gospel today, that thou will bless their efforts wherever they may be, that many, many souls will be won. Thank you for our pastor in Cape Coast and with his group, and we pray for your blessing and for your guidance and for your protection, and even for all of them who have also met again this evening for the teaching service, that as thy word goes forth, Father, we will be edified and grow in spirit and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father, we commit the rest of the week into your hands as we begin another working week, that thou will guide and protect us and direct us. Those who will be going to work, those who will be going to various places, Father, we commit everyone into your hands. And wherever we are, Father, our lifestyle will bring glory unto thy name. Whatever we do, Father, will glorify thy name. Our Heavenly Father, we commit every member of this church into your hands. We thank you for how far that has brought us. We thank you for the unity and the harmony that have existed among us. And Father, we pray that thou will continue to bless us, that will continue to live as such with the common aim of bringing lost souls unto thee. Father, pray for families in our homes. Father, be with us, that we'll have churches in our homes. We'll have more time for communion, more time for prayer, more time to study thy word. And in everything we do, Father, let us put you first. We pray for the youth, and especially those in higher institutions. Oh, Father, we know the deceptions that go on there, and the lifestyles that go on there. Oh, Father, we pray for our people who are in these institutions, that Thou will continue to guide them and protect them and direct them, that whatever they learn from here will be useful in their lives. Pray for the very young ones. Very soon they will be reopening schools, and Father, we commit them into Your hands even as they go back to school, that Thou will be with them and guide them and protect them in all these areas. Oh, our Heavenly Father, what else can we say unto Thee? We pray for all our forthcoming activities. Father, we pray for our prayer meeting on Tuesday, our Bible studies on Wednesday, as our pastor will be coming from Cape Coast, that Thou will grant him travel mercy, that will grant him good health and vitality, that he will be able to come and teach us Thy way. Pray for the forthcoming Saturday weeknight meeting. Pray for next week's services, morning gospel service, Sunday school in the afternoon, the teaching services in the evening. Father, we bring all this before Thee, and Thou will be with the preacher in the preparations. And when the time comes, Father, grant him the power to proclaim Thy word in truth and in honesty. Our Heavenly Father, come and dwell among us this evening as we come. Come and teach us Thy way. Take distractions away and prepare our hearts and our minds to accept Thy word that is going to be planted as a seed, that in the end we shall grow and Thy name will be glorified. So, Father, we thank You for hearing us, even as we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and for His sake. Amen.
Amen.
And let's turn to our third hymn, hymn number 23, version 1. Hymn number 23, version 1. The Lord, my shepherd, I will not want. He makes me down to lie. In pastures green, He leadeth me the quiet waters by. Hymn number 23, version 1.
Amen.
Friends, I'm turning this evening to Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah chapter 29 and to verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29 and to verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. This is the word of God, and I believe it's so profound and so encouraging for every Christian, for God to say that he knows the plans that he has for you, and the plans are not evil, but plans to prosper you. In effect, that is what God is saying, that he has plans for you, and the plans are not evil, and they are to give you an expected end. And like I said, it's a message of encouragement, a message of hope, and a message of comfort for God himself to tell you. And once it's coming from God, who cannot lie, we can say that we can rely and trust in it, because it's coming from the creator of heaven and earth, who has control over everything and can do everything. And because he is God, there's nothing evil in him. Whatever he does is for our good. Even though sometimes it might not be pleasant when you are going through, but we should know that once it's coming from God, once God has allowed it to happen, there is a reason, and the reason is for your good. Even though when you are going through, it's always unpleasant. This account that we just read in Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 tells us that sometimes things are not as we expect. No. Despite our efforts and our everything, this account, Jeremiah was trapped in Jerusalem when the Babylonians had somehow like besieged the place to take the people into captivity. And as we just read, false prophets were telling the people that they shouldn't give up. There's still hope, because they were always trusting in God. Because they fall, God raises them up, they are defeated, and God gives them the power, and they win their wars again. So they think, as usual, this is also going to be a temporary one. Within some few days, God will drive them away. And there were false prophets who were telling them this. And we have them in our days, false prophets giving vain promises when they don't even know what they are talking about. And this is what we are reading here. They were giving them promises that they should not give up. There is hope. God will surely send a miracle of deliverance, as he has been doing in the past. That is what they were telling them. But what did Jeremiah say? He said there's no last minute miracle on the way. The judgment of God is falling. He tells them the truth. This is exactly what is happening. God is judging us. So don't think that it's going to be over within some few days. So in chapter 21, he wrote to those in the exiles who had already been deported to Babylon and given the same message. But in the middle of it, in the middle of the message, as we just read, we find this remarkable verse, which is a verse of comfort and hope, the verse 11. And in looking at this passage, I think we can learn so many lessons from it. And my title this evening is How Christians Respond to Negative Surroundings. How Christians respond to negative surroundings. These people were in Jerusalem, they were happy going about their duties, everything was fine with them. All of a sudden, God allowed the Babylonians to come and take them captive. And as we hear from the account that Jeremiah was saying, they were going to be in that city for 70 years. Despite the lies that the prophets were telling them, Jeremiah said they were going to be there for 70 years. But what did God say? He says he has a wonderful plan for them. Do they see it like that? Being in captivity for 70 years with the people who hate us, people who have actually come to seize us, and God is telling them that even there, he has plans for them. And it is true, the Christian life is not all that rosy. There's nowhere in the Bible that the Bible says, as a Christian, you shouldn't suffer, that everything is going to be fine with you. No. Rather, Christ said that in this world, we will have tribulation, we will suffer. But in the suffering, he will be with us. This is the promise from God. He has never said that everything is going to be rosy for us. In Christianity, the Christian life, as we learn from the scriptures and from my personal experience that I've known, is a life of faces. Faces, P-H-A-S-E-S, faces. Like one step to another step. It is not, you are never going to be at one level at the same time. It's in faces. And some of them can be so nasty. God can strip you naked. And later on, if you really, really, really fear God, when he brings you out, you realize that even though he stripped you naked, it was necessary. It was good for you. Because when he strips you naked, it means you have nowhere to turn to. He will never give you, he will close all avenues, but you have nowhere to turn to than to look up to him. And this is what the Israelites were doing when they were going from the wilderness. Anytime they are defeated, straight away they go to God. They realize that they have committed sins. Otherwise, God would never have let that happen to them. And then they go to him. So God does that. That as Christians, we will come to him. We will always remember him and intensify our prayers and our services unto him. If things were so rosy, everything was happening according to our wish, within a short time we'll forget about God. But God allows us to go into such situations. Please turn with me to John chapter 16, verse 33. And let's see what Christ says about this. John chapter 16 and to verse 33. He says, "These things I have spoken unto you," that is Christ speaking, "that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." Tribulation means pressure. "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." You see, he's telling you that you fall into such situations, but in all of them, remember that he has overcome the world. He has been through all what you are going through, and he is there for you. He will be with you in the trouble. He never promised you that there won't be trouble, as we hear our charismatic friends saying all the time. No, every Christian must be prepared to go through problems. But then you should know that the problem you are going through, Christ will be with you and bring you out. And later on, you will know that it was necessary that you went through that problem. So you will always come around negative surroundings as a Christian. This story, like I'm telling you, there were a group of people who had everything. Everything was going fine for them. And then they've also heard that God has wonderful plan for their lives. Then all of a sudden, they find themselves in this situation. And we should know that God, whatever God, like I said earlier on, allowed to happen, it is for our good. The same thing is what the Israelites were going through. It was in the year 597 before Christ, and God was judging them, judging the nation of Judah because of their unfaithfulness. They had been unfaithful. Despite all the miraculous way that God brought them, they were now unfaithful to God, and God was punishing them. And there were about 3,000 prisoners that were taken to Babylon, including the king, the court officials, and the craftsmen. And now the Jews are saying that this is not what should happen to us if we are the chosen people, like people are saying now. They are saying that if they are the chosen people, we are the apple of God's eye. So what is going on? Why should God allow us to go through all these things? But now, God is telling them that they are going to be in that state for 70 years. It is going to last long. That is why he was telling them to marry, to get married. They should have farms, they should build houses. Like, they should assume that they are living there for forever and ever. And even pray for that nation. The nation that was oppressing them, God was telling them to pray for that nation. Because if you pray and the nation prosper, you are living in the nation. If you don't pray and they suffer, you suffer with them. So he was telling them that they should pray. You see what he said? Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Be fruitful and multiply. In other words, you are not ready to go home because I have plans for you. right here in Babylon. And wherever God places you, He has plans for you. He knows why He has placed you. No matter how unpleasant it is, He has plans for you. Let's see what Jeremiah said again. He said in verse 7, he says, seek the peace and prosperity of the city. He was telling them to seek the peace and prosperity of Babylon, who have invaded their city and taken them into exile. He was telling them that they should pray for the city. And then in verse 10, God says something that even will get them more and annoying. He said, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this. 70 years. Some of them will be old by then. So if you say they should stay there for 70 years, they are not going, never going back to Jerusalem. They are going to die there. This is what God is saying. Even if you die there, it is God's will that you die there. And that is how we should work with God. No matter your situation, even if what you ask for you don't ever get until you die, know that God will do it. Let's say we are praying for people to be converted. Even if you don't see the conversion, we should continue praying and trusting that God will one day save. It might not be our lifetime, but God, we will learn later on that all God's promises are fulfilled. So he said that 70 years, he said, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my various promises to bring you back to this place. So the Jews will be thinking, you mean to live in this country for the next 70 years? Most of us are going to be dead by then. What kind of plan is this? And God is telling them, that is my plan, that you live there for 70 years. But if you read the Old Testament, you see that God accomplished great things in their life within these 70 years. That's what I'm saying, that when God places you in that situation, He has plans for you. And when you come out, then you see the plan. At the time you are going through, it is unpleasant. But when you come out, you will see that it was worth it. Let's see what happened during the 70 years to the people of Israel. Within that same time, number one, remember Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. Remember, they were also taken captive there. They were among the people in Babylon. But they went on to become three of the best administrators that the country had ever had. Please turn with me to Daniel chapter 2, verse 49. Daniel chapter 2. Let's even start from the 48. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men. This all happened within the 70 years. Daniel too was there. And then let's see the 49. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. You see, within this time, they were made the best administrators the kingdom of Babylon has ever had. And this happened within the 70 years. Number two, Daniel too was also among the captives. I just read the 48. And because Daniel was able to interpret the dream, you see, God works in mysterious ways. That's why he said, I have plans for you. He made Daniel interpret a dream to Nebuchadnezzar when none of his wise men were able to interpret. He showed the dream to Daniel, and Daniel had to interpret it to Nebuchadnezzar. And because of this, he said, Daniel was able to interpret the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar, and he was made ruler over the entire province of Babylon. Daniel was made ruler over the whole of Babylon. And this happened within the 70 years. Let's look at the next thing that happened to them within this 70 years. Within these 70 years, Nebuchadnezzar became a believer in God. Turn to Daniel, you can write, we are going to turn him there now, but because of time. Daniel chapter 4, verse 37. He said, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of Heaven, because everything he does is right, and all his ways are just, and those who walk in pride is able to humble. I'm sure you know the story of Nebuchadnezzar, how he was blaspheming against God, and God turned him into a beast for a number of years. And then he is the same person talking like this. The same person who was blaspheming against God. Now, this is what he said. He said, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of Heaven, because everything he does, everything including turning him into a beast, he said, everything he does is right, and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he was very proud at that time, he's able to humble. You see, this beautiful moment of a king's life, it would never have happened if Daniel had not been there. So you see that within these 70 years, this man also became a believer through Daniel. The fourth thing that happened to the people while they lived over them, they had time to write some of the greatest books of the Old Testament. Most of the books in the Old Testament were written during the 70 years that they were in captivity. First and Second Kings was written there. The two of them were written there. First and Second Chronicles, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, and even Psalm 137. They were all written during this 70-year period that they were there. So you see how God was using the period to do greater things for them. When he says he has plans for them, see some of the plans. And the last one, and the most important of all, during these 70 years, they realized that they had to be right with God. Earlier on, God was warning them, they will repent for a while and then go back again. But for 70 years that they were there, now they knew that they had to be right with God. Because in Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 18, Jeremiah said, your own conduct and actions have brought this upon you, have brought this captivity upon you. It's because of your own actions that God has brought you there. So they realized that now they have to be right with God. And it all happened within this 70 years. So if God puts you in any corner that you think is unpleasant and is you think is negative, know that once God has allowed you to happen, it is for your good. I'm sure most of us sometimes can see, me personally, when things go bad or wrong for me, the first thing I go to is to go to God. I will tell God, I'm sure there's something wrong with me. Because I know he can, there's nothing that God cannot do. So if he allows me to go through a problem, then there's a problem with me that he wants me to realize or to know at that period. And no matter how long it takes, I'll continue praying and praying and praying to let him show me what I have done wrong or what is wrong with me. And he shows it. By the time he finishes with you, you know exactly where you've gone wrong. And you live the rest of your time serving him, like what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. So God allows it to happen. He strips you naked, that you have nowhere to turn to and to turn to him alone. This is where they were. They were in captivity in Babylon. There's nowhere they can go. They can't do anything than to turn to God. And God does that so that you turn to him. So if you look at the big picture, you can see that God was working behind the scenes in the hearts of the people. Even though they can't see it, they will just see it as a punishment. But behind the scenes, God was working for them. I'll just give you an example of something that I heard from one of my friends today. I'm a very old man, but he's my friend. This man, we were living together in Ashaman Estate. Now, all of a sudden, the landlord was sacking him. And his house was not completed. He was pleading for even another year so that he could complete the house. And the man says no, he had to move. And he said this to his daughter, So the daughter said, okay, I will rent another place for you. But I will look for a place near where you are building your house so that you can have time to go and be attending to your building. So they were planning to move. And the girl never took him to where he's renting the place. All he told him is that the place is, this is a true story. It's not like, and I'm concocting, it's a true story. The girl said, oh, it's closer to where your house is. So you, when the time comes, you will see. So last Sunday, the girl came with a truck to pack all their things to be taken to this so-called rented accommodation. And I'm sure during that time, the man was worried whether even in truth the daughter was going to rent the place for him. So they came with the truck, packed all his things, and they went to the place. And they went straight to where his plot is. The house was completed, brand new house. And because it's a surprise, he had arranged for all his church ministers and the elders, everybody to be there on that day, so that it would be like a very solemn occasion. This is how God worked with us. All along that, the man was worried that where was he going to move to? Not knowing behind the scenes, the daughter was arranging that he goes into his own house, not even to a rented place. There's nothing that God can do for you. And whatever God does is the best. The man, when he called, he was even crying on the phone, just asking me to come and visit him. So it's the same thing like this. When God puts you in a tight corner, it may be unpleasant, but know that he has better plans for you. Behind the scenes, you'll be going through problems, but he knows what he's doing for you. And his plans are not always what we think. Like the case I just told you, the man was thinking of a rental because he knows that for his place to take ages to build. So it is not always as we think. God's plans are always better and always the best. Even if we don't understand them at the time, even if we can't see the light at the end, we must trust him that whatever he's doing in our lives is better. In Romans chapter 8 verse 28, he said, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Are you called? Are you saved? Are you really regenerated? Are you sincerely converted? If you are, then you should trust God in every situation. For he said, and we know that all things work together for good. All things, including what we think are bad, they work together for our good. To them that love God. Do you love God? And to them who are the called, are you called according to his promise? If you know you are called and you love God, whatever you are going through, know that God has put you in that situation, no matter how you see it. So he knows the plans he has for the people of Israel by putting them there. And he knows the plans are not plans of evil, but plans that will prosper them. When I say prosper, it's not in terms of money. It could be God's physical blessing. But when he says there are plans that is good for you, we know that God has the power to provide whatever we need for us. But you know that what he wants us first to do is to be saved. That is what in Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all the things, and before them he named the things, raiment, food, whatever he will provide for you. So what he means by that, if you are a believer, what plans has God for you, or what hope do you have? First, you have a hope of a future that goes beyond this world that we are going through now. He gives you a hope of a future. The future goes beyond this world that we are living now and the things in this world, in this life. You have a hope of a future where you will be living in eternity with God himself. The hope is that you will live with God himself in eternity, in future. You have also a hope that he who has begun a good work in you will carry it unto completion until the time that Christ comes. God is the one who has called you. That is why we in the Baptist faith, we believe in one saved, forever saved. Perseverance of the saints. He is the one who has called you. The same grace by which he called you with, it is through the same grace that he will take you along. And he said, no one can snatch you from his hand. So you have a hope and a future that if you are truly called, you one day sit with God in heaven. And he will be with you until the final completion when Christ comes. You also have the hope that God will one day be finished with the work in your life. And you reign with Christ forever and ever. You have a certain hope that God's promise in your life will come true. Because he is God. He can't lie. And there's nothing that God has said in the Bible that has never happened. Everything he says happens. So, the whole message of Jeremiah, which he told to the people, comes true. Which later on, everything that he said came true. Before God called the Babylonians to take them to exile, he had warned them in the verse chapter 25 of the same Jeremiah. He said, I'm going to judge the nation of Judah because they have forsaken the Lord, the spring of living water. He is your source of life, and they have neglected him. And that is what happened exactly. He said it will happen, and it happened. So if he said that he will deliver them after 70 years, it will happen. Because whatever God says, always come true. In Jeremiah chapter 30 verse 3, he said, the days are coming when I will bring my people Israel and Judah back from captivity and restore them to the land I gave to their forefathers to possess, says the Lord. And 50 years later, it happened. So whatever God says in your life will happen. Friends, it is very encouraging to be a Christian, to be a believer. So when I read the Old Testament account and the way God worked with the people, and then I say to myself, so I've also become part of this family. It's nice to feel that you are part of people like Moses and Abraham who worked with God, and the way God blessed them and provided for them. You are also part of that family. And God will always provide for you. God is a God who cannot lie. Whatever he says happens. So if you are a Christian, this should encourage you. In chapter 31, verse 31, God says, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. With this covenant, no longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. This is what God declares. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. God is saying this. So if you are a child of God, this should encourage you. This was a promise. Years and years and years. It took a very long time, 630 years later, before this was fulfilled. That was the coming of Christ. After God's promise, it took 630 years, and yet it happened. Christ came, and that prophecy was fulfilled in Christ. Now, it is clear from this account that God has good plans for us. He wants us to prosper. He has good plans for us. But to take care of those plans, to be able to benefit from those plans, there is a condition. And there was a condition to the people of Israel. For them to come and to reoccupy their land, there was a condition, which is what we are going to also take lessons from. Condition number one, and that is taken from verses 4 to 6, make the best of things. Even in that situation where you think that you are in captivity, make the best. You see, because this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, he says to them, I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, behold, or say, build houses and settle down, plant gardens, live that you are living there permanently. So make the best in your situation. When you are in such a situation, don't say, I've given up. Live as, make the best of that situation. And that's why he said, build houses, plant gardens, and eat what you produce, marry and have sons and daughters, find wife for your sons, and give your daughters in marriage. So the point he's saying, Jeremiah is saying, that there's not going to be a last-minute miracle and any sudden solution. No. As God has said, it will happen. He says 70 years. So 70 years, are you going to sit down idle and wait for the 70 years? No. Live your normal life. Make the best out of that situation. And it's the same with us. Whatever situation God puts you into, make the best out of that situation. Point number two. He said, pray where you are. Wherever you are, whatever situation you find yourself, you have to pray. Because in verse 7 he says, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Ask God to bless your surroundings, wherever you are. Because if they prosper, you also prosper. So Jeremiah was telling the people to pray for the peace of the nation where they had been taken into exile. That is what God says to us. In Philippians chapter 4 verse 6, he says, in everything, through prayer and supplications, make your request known unto God. Whatever situation God has put you, pray to God, and he will be with you. He will guide you. He will protect you. And when the time comes, he will take you out of that situation. You should also be aware of wrong voices, people who will be telling you lies. In verse 8 and 9, Jeremiah warned the Israelites not to listen to wrong voices. They were lying to them. The prophets were telling them lies, that God was going to take them within a short time. And that is what we are seeing in our days now. Turn to your television and see people who are lying to people. Last week when I was in Kumasi, I was listening to news, and then all of a sudden there was an advert by Prophet Obofo in Kumasi. And what he was telling, for about 30 minutes, all what he was saying is that there's going to be a very powerful prayer meeting yesterday. That was Saturday. And what he was saying is that God himself is coming there. And all his angels, they are all coming there. So everybody must come. And when you are coming, be prepared to come and offer to God, because God is going to be there. See, this life. And that's what people are telling them. And people were shouting and praising him. Thousands of people. And they will all go there. They will all go there and give him their substance. And this man will be living like a king. And we are seeing them. And we saw the same thing. That's why you say, beware of wrong voices. They will tell them lies. And when it doesn't happen, then they will turn to the same Bible. They will now tell them the truth. When they say you are going to prosper and you don't prosper, now they will tell you that, oh, when you want something from God, God says that be patient. So you have to wait. Meanwhile, earlier on, he didn't tell them that when you are asking for God, when they are telling them, want it now, when it doesn't happen now they tell them that with God, you have to be patient. That's what is happening now, life upon life. And that is what Jeremiah was warning them to beware of wrong voices. The next thing is, you have to take a long view of your situation. If it happens earlier, it's fine. But take a long view that it can happen within a short time, but take a long view, because this God was telling them that it will take 70 years, and 70 years it happened. God sent the Medes and the the Medes and the Persians, yes, they went to also conquer Babylon so that the people came out of exile. Now we live in a time that everybody wants immediate satisfaction. Go to the fields and see people praying. They are praying and they are asking for the thing, and they say they want it now. They want it now. They are not even telling God for God to give whatever they want in his own time. They are telling God that they want it now. What is happening in the world now? But Christians are looking forward to long-term faithfulness. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 16 to 18. It says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So no matter how long it takes for you to get whatever you want from God, you are being renewed day by day. From verse 17, it says, for our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You see, he's working for you eternal weight of glory. So no matter how long it takes, you have to take a long view and wait for God. Verse 18 says, whilst we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So Christians take a long view at things that we don't see, trusting that it is God who is leading us. Number 5, I think our time is running. Get hopeful about God's plan. Be hopeful about God's plans. The verse 11 says, remember that these words were spoken to the people who were displaced. Remember who Jeremiah was talking to. People who were displaced, they were defeated, they were depressed, they were in exile. But with the Lord, no situation is hopeless. With God, because he said, what God said, he said, I know the plans I have for you. So no matter how long it takes, know that God is the one who has said it. Then, above all, seek the Lord when you are in that situation. What did God say in verse 13 to 14? Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. He said, when you seek me, you will find me. And this is God's promise. Whatever your circumstance, we can make it known unto God. As he said, seek first his kingdom. Whatever you are, make sure that your relationship with God is intact. Are you trusting him and him alone? Whatever you are, if you are trusting him, know that God will never, never, ever disappoint you. So in order for the Israelites to go back to their land, they had to obey God. They had to obey God. And this is what God has said. Listen to what all the promise, all the warnings of Jeremiah. And we are also to trust God. God has proved time and time again that wherever we are, he will be with us. Didn't he do the same thing to Abednego and his friends when they were in the fire? When they were 3 and they became 4, he was with them. Didn't he send birds to send food to Elijah when he was hiding in a cave? Wherever you are, God sees you and God can provide for you. All the apostles, when it comes to the New Testament, what they went through, but in all of them, God was with them. Peter and co were taken from prison in a miraculous way. Paul, even snake was around him, the snake couldn't bite him. From shipwrecks, from whatever, he had been in situations, and in all of them, God has been with them. So you can always trust God and know that his way will always come to pass. In Psalm 119, verse 49, what does he say? He says, remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. So your hope is in his word. The word that he has given us. He says, remember the word unto thy servant, upon whom thou hast caused me to hope. What he means here is that whatever situation you find yourself, there's a promise in the Bible that suits your situation. God has done that for us. And always remember Romans 8:28 and Jeremiah 29, verse 11, that whatever happens to you is for your good. Then Jeremiah said, it is God's plan for you, and it is a good plan. So I don't know your situation today. I don't know what you may be going through, but know that whatever it is, God has solution to it. There's no situation that you go through and God doesn't have solution for. Isaiah 40 verse 29 to 31 says, he giveth power to the faint. Are you fainted? And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Are you weak? He will increase your strength. He said, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and will not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So whatever situation in which you are, there's a solution in the scriptures. So, I don't know your situation, but I can tell you that no matter how unpleasant it is God who has placed you there. That is what the hymn that we just sang in Psalm 23, verse 4. David had confidence in God that even in the shadow of, in the valley of the shadow of death. When I try to find out that place, that Kidron, it is a place between a mountain and Jerusalem. It was like a cemetery and a very fearful place. And he said, even when he is in that place, he knows that God will be with him. And he was trusting in God. As we come to close, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Don't turn there, I'll just read it to you. He said that this mindset only comes from God. To have that trust in God, as David said in Psalm 23, verse 4, comes from God. He said, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So, whatever your situation is, bring it to the Lord. Come to Him and cast it upon Him. Once you pray and you lay down your plans, your problems to God, just leave it. Once you have told God in prayer, just leave it. God will take care of it. And at the right time, He will come and deliver you out of it. And my prayer this evening is that this will encourage you to trust more and more in God and commit all your cares, your everything to Him, knowing that wherever He has put you, He has a plan for you, and the plan is for your good. Thank the Lord for His word, and let's turn to our last hymn, hymn number 542. Hymn number 542. Leave God to order all thy ways, and hope in Him whatever betide. He will be found in evil days, and all sufficient strength and guide. Who trusts in God's unchanging love, builds on the rock that cannot move. Hymn number 542. Our gracious and heavenly loving Father, we thank you for such a day. Father, we thank you for all that has done for us during today, trusting in your promise that if we keep the Lord's day in holiness, that will bless us. Father, we thank you for all that was enabled us to do today, our morning gospel, our Sunday school, our teaching service, and all what that was enabled us to do. And Father, we pray for your blessing and guidance and protection. And even as we go our separate ways, Father, it is our prayer that thou will be with us and take us home safely and prepare us for another working week. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.